Hey guys, Geo here. Welcome back to another episode of Geocast. Yeah, so my last episode was right before going into ceremony at Rhythmia. My good friend, music producer, Roxy Moon, made it all the way to Costa Rica to join me for a week at Rhythmia, where he almost didn't. And yeah, it's been quite an interesting week, both at Rhythmia and as, you know, things continue to evolve in the world and where we find ourselves as a humanity. So one thing that I've really been into also is just this creating this music. And we've formulated a partnership with Rhythmia to create breathwork music and just upgrade their breathwork program. I'll talk a bit about that and that process as well. So first about the medicine, you know, like night one and two. So at Rhythmia, it's really beautiful. I guess you would call it high-end resort that serves plant medicine. You know, you go in and you do Friday, Saturday, and Sunday is breathwork. Usually people arrive on Saturdays or Sundays. And then you have four nights of ayahuasca back-to-back, culminating in an all-night yahe experience. And then Friday night breathwork and Saturday night, depending if you came in on Saturday or Sunday, you might get one more breathwork session and away you go. So yeah, the Sunday night breath work, we were exploring this new kind of meditation and using what we call the elementalism flow, which, you know, the breakthrough experience, which some of you guys have experienced, or you can try it on our website, is really upregulated. Use a lot of breathing to bring emotions to the surface, help you have breakthroughs and feel a lot of different things. And, you know, we felt that for the first night at Rhythmia, a lot of people are coming in and are maybe feeling a little nervous or a lot of travel or stress. And, you know, cranking up the nervous system is probably not the best. So we went in with this really nice deregulation, down-regulated breathing pattern, which we call the flow, and brought them into, you know, a process that comes from our mind work process about just going inward and trying to find the root of some of the things that affect you. You know, we all have these core beliefs and core wounds that usually happen sometime in childhood. And the way we kind of protect ourselves from feeling that way creates a lot of patterns in our life that show up everywhere, in our relationships, in our work, in our finances, you name it. Because what we're trying to avoid is that that pain and suffering. You know, this also has to do with like your needs being met and stuff like that. And when you have a wound, it can distort the way you try to get your needs met or may change your needs a little bit. But anyways, I guess I'm going on a tangent here. Went amazing. And the feedback from the guests and opening the process of self-awareness. Because what all these things do, breath work, plant medicine, meditation, it's deepening your self-awareness, understanding yourself. How do you see yourself? How do you have the awareness to the feelings that you feel, to the way your mind works and all of the amazing programming or not so amazing programming you've picked up in order to function in this world, in order to survive, in order to thrive. And the more you can see into that, the more you have the ability to transcend those, to change those, to come to terms with them, to have acceptance over the things that have happened to you, to realize that there is nothing wrong with you. You are fully capable, but you may have put yourself in a box or create this dialogue internally. I'll talk more about that in a bit as well. So that was amazing. So night one, a beautiful ceremony. And I just realized, you know, I started to see my mind and how all over the place it is and how, you know, I'm always keeping myself busy. And I've shared this many times before. And I just felt like I was in my head a lot, which is normal for me on the plant medicine. And brought that into night two. And in night two, the last time I was in a ceremony with Chris, the medicine was super strong. I got to this point of surrender where it was very fearful. And I had a choice to kind of lean into it. And I decided not to go through that kind of portal. And it just showed me like, hey, like surrender is not going to be easy for you anymore, because before it would just blast me away and take me there and I'd have no choice. But now it's like, yeah, now you really need to choose to surrender and then let go of your expectations of what should or shouldn't happen. So the next night I got to that similar place and I tried really to surrender and just let go. And just my mind was kind of like dumping itself out, all of the thoughts, all of the kind of worries that I have about the world, about what's going on, about mainly things that are out of my control, about, you know, different businesses or investments that I'm in with people, and, you know, things that are not going exactly the way I want to in certain areas, and other things that are going great. And one thing that was made really clear, and something that I preach, it was showing that we spend or waste a lot of energy worrying about or trying to figure out solutions to things that are mainly out of our control. And the amount of energy wasted or spent or given away into those will be so detrimental to you when what's the remainder, the balance that is left, is what you have to put into your creation. The remainder of what you have to put into your creative projects, into your loved ones, into your flow, into your art, into your being present for other things, because you're spending it all in this worry, whether it's consciously or subconsciously in the back of your mind, not sleeping at night. And so by the end of the second ceremony, I came to this amazing kind of place of calm, quiet, gratitude, and clarity, where I was like, okay, now I know. So every time I start feeling those things, like, hey, do not put energy into this, you know, be present, you know, do your things, do what you can, send that email, you know, follow up, look into it, but don't spend so much emotional energy worrying, what if this person never gets back to me? What if I lose my investment? What if, you know, this person screws me over or whatever? It's like, those are all potentialities. And maybe if they do happen, it's exactly what you need anyways. But worrying and figuring out doesn't help. And so, you know, the way that night started was, you know, I usually start with 2 cups. I spoke to Chris. I told him about my last experience. Like, hey, like, maybe just go for one. And after the first cup was really strong, I was like, I don't know if I can do a second cup. Maybe I'll just go up for a half. That's what, you know, I was talking to the ayahuasca, asking what she thought I should do. And so I go up and I ask Chris, I'm like, maybe just a half. And so he's like, okay. He turns around with a full cup and I'm like, what happened to the half? And he's like, you want me to take some out? And it's kind of like a joke that I think the ayahuasca was saying, and also maybe unintentionally from Chris. It's like, I'm not going to pour it back out now. It's in my cup for a reason, to drink it. And that was after drinking and surrendering. That was the experience that it came. It went back to that kind of deep place of surrender, dumping out my mind all over the place and coming to this sense of clarity. And again, like I shared the last time, you know, like when it's hard, you know, just stick with it. You know, Wachan, the Wachuma Curandero, told me that his teacher or father told him once, the ending is always great. So if it's not great, it's not the end. And that just kind of stuck with me through the ceremonies. So not getting attached to how things should be, things that I can't control, and just really letting go into that. And the next night, you know, ladies' night, which is a beautiful feminine night. And this week there was, I kind of had this joke about the graveyard at Rhythmia. There's this big grassy area where, you know, people are having a tough time or kind of losing it a little bit. You know, they bring them out there, put a nice mattress under the stars, and call it the graveyard. It's like, that's where people go to die and obviously be reborn. And so, you know, the graveyard was pretty quiet this week. Ladies' night, you know, just did 2 cups off the bat. It was pretty strong initially, and then just like carried me right to the whole ceremony. I felt this really deep inner peace, this really quiet mind, and this ability to start having visions of what I want to create and how, you know, I felt like I can really bring a lot into this breathwork program we're creating at Rhythmia and some of the other things that we're working on with the music. And right now, the musical journey that I'm on, you know, I'm not the greatest musician, but I've just been really feeling inspired to bring musicians together with the intention of, you know, producing this breath work. So having a vision for that and bringing the right musicians together. So a lot of clarity on that on the Wednesday night. And then going to Thursday, you know, each night I like to read from the book, The Way to Love by Anthony DeMello. It's an incredible book. If you haven't read it, I highly recommend it. And you can read any chapter anytime, and a lot of times I'll just pull a chapter and read it. This night I forgotten to bring it to ceremony, so I just started writing. And I also like to just intuitively journal, so I'll get a blank page and I'll start just writing words out. And this last one, I just started doodling and just drawing circles and lines and squares. And the first word that I wrote down was rebirth. And when I read it back, I was like, oh, shit. Quickly beside it, I wrote like, awe, wonder, bliss, joy, because I know that's part of the rebirth process. But to be reborn, you have to die. And I know when I wrote that down, I was like, oh, be careful what you wish for. And so when they asked us to share, I said, you know, rebirth. But I was joking with ayahuasca. I was like, if you can skip the dying part, I'd really appreciate it. I'd really appreciate it. But if that's where we got to go, you know, that's where we got to go. And I always feel like having that courage to go into it is really, really important. Because, you know, as I've said before, and as Terrence McKenna very poetically stated, you know, nature rewards courage. And the more courage you have, the more amazing the other side of whatever you go through is going to be. So, you know, also, my experience with Yahe has been, reborn itself. You know, the last few times I've done it, I've just really been able to go super deep and have amazing visuals. And, you know, the first probably 10 or 12 times, like, nothing but nausea, no visions, no colors. But this time, you know, it was a little bit different. And it was really strong. And, you know, I knew after the first cup, you know, I hadn't died yet. And I was like, okay, let's go for the second one. And I started feeling sick as normal, and I knew, okay, it was time. If I'm going to move this, this is probably where the rebirth is going to happen. And I got some rapé. It's a really beautiful rapé. Rapé is a tobacco mixed with ashes from the Amazon. And they have these little curipes, which is like these two little sticks that one goes in your mouth and one goes into your nostril, and you load up some tobacco in there and you blow it through. It can be very intense, and usually it will move your energy through your body and realign things. And a lot of times when I'm feeling nauseous in a ceremony, I use it to help just open up the visions and to kind of purge. And after I did a really strong round of rapé, I died. It was graceful. It wasn't as hard as I expected. You know, I purged pretty violently, let that out, and really just collapsed onto my mattress. And, you know, I was rubbing this beautiful lotion with some chandur in it and some flowery essences. And immediately I started going to like kind of like a dream state. And as I felt, you know, myself fading away from, I guess, the old me that was dying, and, you know, an ayahuasca died many times. So I think it's just aspects of yourself that kind of die or atrophy or fade away. I have this experience where I'm just like this little baby. I feel like I have no teeth. My skin feels so soft. And I just feel so curious and playful and excited about life. When you're a baby, you know, it reminded me, it brought me back to this memory of having no fear. No real fear, you know, like fear of abandonment. You know, you're not really scared. You're kind of curious. You cry when you need something. But I hadn't been infiltrated by the world. My mind hadn't been exposed to all of these things that are trying to get our attention, trying to sell to us, trying to create fear and control. And it was this beautiful process that started the whole week of like getting rid of all of these worries and thoughts to coming to this pure essence of a baby. And as I explored, I found my bicep, which in the experience felt like my mother's breast. And it was kind of messed up. And I started like kind of like sucking on my arm. And it was like I was breastfeeding again. And when I realized it, I was like, what the hell is going on here? And I had this kind of memory of my mom and that mother's love as she's breastfeeding, and how amazing that felt, and how at peace I was, and how safe I felt, and just knowing that everything was going to be taken care of for me. And the reminder is, you know, like, bring yourself to that now. Bring yourself to that space again where you know, you are held by the great mother and father of the universe, that nothing can really happen to your soul. And the more you're aligned with spirit and trust in your higher self, you know, you can let go of all these fears. You know, it's the worst thing that can happen. You can die. The physical body can die. But when the spirit is aligned, you know, the spirit will last forever, and hopefully not have to come back too many times in this lifetime to learn about these lessons. And so it was so beautiful. And also the reminders to be excited about life, to be curious, to not let fear control you, to not let fear stop you from exploring, you know, from creating music, from doing awesome things. Not worrying about like what people are going to think of you or being judged, because a baby doesn't give a shit about any of that stuff. You know, there's a point where they do. There's a point where something happens, and, you know, they make it embarrassed or hurt, or someone hurts their feelings, and then it creates these beliefs, which I talked about a bit earlier, that we explore in our breathwork programs. Where do these beliefs come from? These core wounds, core beliefs. I'm not good enough. I'm alone. I'm afraid. I'm unworthy. I'm unsafe. And it was just really showing me, like, hey, like, you're, this is the stuff where you need to focus, which we are focusing on in our breathwork training level two. And you know, after that, it was like, as the Yahe musicians were playing, it was like, look, you know, we should use this music. I don't know if it was the ayahuasca that was telling me that. It felt like it. I was like, yeah, you know, talk to Jerry, talk to the team. Let's create some breath work with the Yahe music. It would be so helpful for people after these experiences to continue their journey using breath as that portal inward and bringing the energy of the ayahuasca and the music into the experience. And it just became super clear all the things I had to do around music projects, around finding, you know, confidence and trust in that process of creating these beautiful breathing experiences. And it all started to happen. You know, within a week, we were back at Rhythmia and recording music with the most talented musicians, full of intention. We're working with, you know, our level two instructors now, and going through this process of exploring, you know, our core wounds and beliefs through this coaching program. And the transformation their experience is blowing my mind. It's like totally blowing my mind. Just watching them go through it, because that's how we teach. It's like, hey, you have to experience it yourself first, because once you do that, you'll be able to be a way better coach. And it's been a beautiful process, you know. And level two is like our level one facilitators learn how to facilitate breath work to lead experiences where they can help people have these transformations. But a lot of time, people want to go deeper and they need help really get into specifics. And I think it can be said the same for ayahuasca. You know, ayahuasca will show you things, will give you awareness to things, but how do you integrate them? How do you process them? You know, how do we kind of have that self-reflection tools to see where the patterns that have emerged from this? Because sometimes you can heal a core wound or a core memory, but the survival pattern is so ingrained in your brain. The neural pathways have become so strong over a lifetime of repetition, of keeping yourself safe, of doing certain things, of having control, whatever it is. And now that we know that, hey, like, I'm not in that danger anymore. I don't have to kind of always be in protection mode. Okay, so now we got to practice what that feels like. And reminding yourself of that you're safe and that you are loved and that you are okay. And so it's amazing. I'm super inspired. And, you know, we're creating more music. I got all my friends in Costa Rica making music. We're looking at making more music retreats to make music with intention to help people on these journeys. And yeah, it's a really, really beautiful thing. Really, really beautiful thing. And so, yeah, when I got back, it just was clear. Me and Roxy have been jamming all week and making music, which I'm excited to share with you guys. Stay tuned on Instagram. I'll share some snippets. I had this crazy sleep paralysis experience. I don't know if any of you have ever experienced sleep paralysis, but it was one of the most intense ones I'd ever experienced, where I was frozen in bed and I started hearing voices, like loud voices, like they were talking to me. And in the moment, it was very clear what they were saying. When I woke up, I couldn't remember. And in the experience, I had, I guess, dreamt that I'd woken up and was in my bed and, you know, whatever. And then I would fall back into it, happened like 3 or 4 times in a row until finally I snapped out of it. So I'm not sure what to make of sleep paralysis. All I know is super intense. I know in the past I used to practice astral projection, and, you know, the sleep paralysis is one of the ways that if you can be calm and aware that you're in a sleep paralysis state, it's one of those ways you can kind of exit the body and astral project and travel. And I've done it a few times. I haven't been practicing it much. This was years ago before I got into medicine, but it was a reminder about how powerful, you know, we are, and we have these abilities that we don't really access a lot. Yeah, and then I guess just the last thing, is that now, yeah, just really inspired to keep moving forward, to keep helping and keep working on myself and learning these things. You know, one of the guys who's interested in taking our level one training was asking me about shame. You know, he said he wants to work with guys with shame and how that works. And, you know, shame is an emotion. Shame is something people feel because of a belief that they have. You know, a core wound brings up an emotion, and they have thoughts and they judge themselves in their mind. And it was really interesting to kind of share that with him, to let him know that, like, hey, like, shame is the outcome of a belief. And if you can change the belief, then you can reduce that feeling of shame and transform it. And this is the work that we're doing right now. This is the work to combine these modalities to help people have more self-awareness, to break free of their limiting beliefs and thoughts, and to continue to grow and evolve. I think that's exactly what the planet needs right now. The planet needs more people to free themselves, to feel free and connected and aligned with everyone else, because we are one, so that we can live in harmony. And it feels like the world is on a crash course right now. I just think everything's bubbling to the surface. You know, all these train derailments in last week and UFOs, and it's just this crazy propaganda. I think the dark side is losing. You know, you watch like the Super Bowl halftime show and Rihanna doing the all-seeing eye triangle, which wasn't shown on TV. And Sam Smith at the Grammys, you know, doing this kind of devil dance, and it's just crazy craziness, and like people are exposed to it, and our kids are exposed to it, and all this data that's coming out about what happened over the last 3 years. And you know, I think this is just helping to wake people up. Really helping to wake people up. And it's sad that there's going to be a lot of casualties mentally, physically, and emotionally. People are being broken in a way. But the ayahuasca told me that nature, it's a part of nature, you know, evolution. You know, animals die and are reborn, and you know, you were an animal too at one time, is what it told me. And, you know, there's always casualties, and you're kind of choosing what you want to be in a way. You know, you chose to come here and experience this to learn, but also in this dimension to help it evolve. And so as we go through it, you know, to use your voice, to share your gifts, and to help the shift. And, you know, some of us won't make it. Hopefully most of us do. But as things continue to turn over, that's kind of the process. And I feel like the dark side, whatever you want to call them, are really hanging on right now. There's an interesting conspiracy. So I used to be really into conspiracy stuff. So there's two things, like Project Looking Glass and Project Blue Beam. So Project Blue Beam is saying how they're going to project images into the sky and fake this alien invasion, so that we'll be saved by this new savior to bring in like a one world religion, one world government. I thought like that's what was happening now. They're starting to really talk about UFOs and the government's talking about it. But when the government and the media talk about something, it means it's not true. They're trying to distract you from something. And there's a lot of things to be distracted from right now. A lot of things that are coming to the surface. When it comes to like big pharma, big health, human trafficking, you know, all these things are coming to the surface where years ago we couldn't even talk about this stuff, and now people are coming forward. So I think they're trying to hang on, but they're going to lose. And I think the more people that bring this vibration of light and love to the world is going to keep transcending that, bringing everyone's shit to the surface and forcing them to feel uncomfortable where they have to take desperate measures. Project Looking Glass is like a CIA operation. I can't remember the specific details, but I remember them saying like they had this ability to kind of see into the future. If you look at like Ingo Swann and remote viewing, there's even that movie, the something about goats, the man who talked to goats or something like that, where certain people can see remote places through astral projection or remote viewing or see into the future, but they couldn't see beyond 2012. That's why a lot of them thought that was going to be the end of the world. But I think we're in a state right now where we can't predict the future. Where before you were able to see into it and make plans and adjustments and control. And I think we're every cycle or certain amount of time, there comes into this phase of like wild card phase where anything can happen, anything can go. And no one knows what the future holds. And it's always a time for us to shift, to transform. It gives us these opportunities and it comes back to some sort of stability. And so I'm hoping that where we are now is in this really malleable state in the universe. All these things are coming up. The chaos, order out of chaos, the destruction, you know, the Shiva's destruction, so it can be reborn and rebuilt. So that's all I got to say. Sorry for rambling. A little bit longer one today. Love to hear your thoughts, what you think or feel, if you think I'm completely full of crap. I'm on Instagram at Elemental Geo. We have a YouTube channel as well, but mainly on Instagram. And always check out elementalrhythm.com. Feel called to be a breathwork facilitator. I would love to have you as part of our community. Okay? Keep shining your light. Keep breathing. I love you so much. Peace. Namaste.